Welcome to It All Boils Down to This, the podcast where father and son take the kitchen table arguments and heated discussions from their home directly to yours. Jim and Jack Boyle will explore the world as only they can. We might even let a few guests join the fun. So sit back, choose a side, watch the water temperature rise, and enjoy stimulating generational conversation about sports and life.
Welcome to It All Boils Down to This, episode 35. Jack has joined us, host Jim Boyle. We got a lot to go over this week, Jack. The Masters, the NBA play-in tournament, the draft's coming up. The Sox are really playing like crap. Coach Cal's going to Arkansas. You've got some fun things with the rants on Chelsea and also your Man United stuff. So let's start off right away with the Masters because that's what we talked about. You're wearing Tiger red today. That was the one bet was Tiger would not wear red. He did play, and he didn't play that well.
Yeah, he played. He played at like an amateur level, but yeah, he played.
He got through 72 holes, which you didn't think he would.
No, I was wrong, but yeah, he played. Yeah,
But
it's like at this point, it's like, is that even worth it? Like, I got it. You made the cut, but when you finished last, I don't know.
Yeah, he's gonna go all out, and he's gonna go out to be. He wants to play PGA Valhalla as well, so that's a good sign if he can get in the Masters. I think it's just a matter of him playing more, making shots, but. You picked the winner, so all hats off to what?
He might have a heat stroke there.
He could have a heat stroke there. You picked a winner.
Yep.
And that was great. And Scheffler, quick thoughts, back nine, everybody choking. He took it up.
4-1 odds. I mean, you don't get a lot in golf. So when you get that, you see a guy playing well, you know he's going to win. He didn't have his A game. He beat everybody by 4 shots, right? He didn't have his A game till the back nine on Sunday. And he totally turned it up, and he showed he can go to a level that nobody else can go to. But also, his bottom is so good right now, where he's just – I mean, the criticism – the thing coming him was he can make enough putts. It wasn't right. Just that he made way more than enough putts. It was it ended up being with him the way his 72 holes were going. It was like, is he going to be able to start hitting his irons like he normally does? He just – he won with his B game by 4 shots. So he's way better than ever.
Well, he won with his B game till back nine when he really dominated. He was hitting shots. I think his shot making is just phenomenal. I agree with you on that. And he dominated. He dominated the field. 11 killed everyone, obviously, and then 12 killed Homa. And
he didn't kill him.
Steady. Didn't kill him, right? And on Saturday on 13, where he hit that eagle. That was the turning point for everything. But he won by like 4 or 5 strokes. So it's obvious that he was the best player on that course. And he's won his second Masters, and he's the best player in the world. But his competition didn't do too bad. The Oberg kid played well for his first major. Homa, until that 12th hole blow up, was doing very well. Morikawa that surprised me the most. Some guy who's won 2 majors playing like that down the stretch. But again, they said that he won his 2 majors in the COVID with no crowd. So does that impact you or not, do you think?
Maybe a little bit, but I don't. I think that's probably overblown in golf. The effect of the crowd. I don't think that the crowd is affecting them that much, right? Like, it's not like they're nervous swinging the golf club in front because they're in front of a person. They're nervous because like they're playing for the Masters. Like, crowd or not, it doesn't matter. You'd be nervous over a golf ball. Like, I'm playing golf the other day trying to win this scramble. I'm nervous taking some shots at some point. So it's like, I think the crowd in golf's overblown. So no, I wouldn't think that. I just think like he said on TV, he got too greedy with some of his shots. On 11, he tried to make birdie. Don't try to make birdie on 11. On 12, I don't know. He hit too many shots where he went for too many pins because I think the effect, it's almost like when you were playing Tiger back in the day, the reason why a lot of these guys might like falter around him and make mistakes is because they feel they have to play 110% to beat Scheffler. Because it's like, oh, Scheffler's playing his A game right now. I have to play better than my A game to beat him. I have to play perfect golf. So I think they all started to get a little bit greedy like that, knowing that the only way I'm beating Scheffler is if I make birdies. Yeah, they weren't getting Scheffler making pars.
All 3 of them went from even or 1 shot behind to 4 or 5 shots behind, like in the blink of an eye. All of a sudden, Scheffler is making shots, and he played like Tiger used to play. Tiger would play 11, he'd throw it off to the right, he'd take his par. He'd throw it to the middle of the green, he'd take his par. He'd try to score in the 2 par fives, take those and go on. And you got to give the guy credit. He played great golf. He is the best player in the world. Put the LIV guys to shame too. I think that only DeChambeau and Smith finished top 10 from our friends from LIV. But
Talk about not being able to putt. DeChambeau, he could not putt for the life of him over the weekend there.
I tell you something, though. On Thursday, Friday, the course ate everybody up. It the winds and everything, and nobody played well. What did Scheffler was 11 under to win? I think 11, which is last year I think it was 14. So that's means the course
it was hard. Yeah,
it was tough, and you know. But then again, the closest competitor to him was 7 under. So he had
Even if those guys don't make mistakes, even if Åberg doesn't hit in the water, even if you know he or make double, even if Morikawa doesn't put in the water, even if Homa doesn't put in the bush, Scheffler still wins.
Like most even, likely, even, yes. Yes,
yeah, even if he still would have won.
I thought that Max Homa, who I was rooting for down the stretch, he didn't play the par fives well at all. Homa didn't. And then Åberg was actually probably the best of the three challengers. Tommy Fleetwood played well from behind. He did the old Rory McIlroy top five, come in and backdoor top five, we call it. So what's the future hold for this whole world? You're talking Grand Slam? Or are you thinking he'll have trouble one or two courses?
No, I
because the PGA Valhalla, which is it's not going to be hot in Valhalla. It's going to be warm, but it's going to be hot in Kentucky there. But what do you think? Can he win? Can he win one or two more majors this year? Or is it just is it too much of an uphill climb?
I think you have to get behind him at the next major. You have to. Last year, I bet you I was rooting for Rahm at the PGA after he won the Masters. Rahm's not as good as Scheffler is now. And I think Scheffler's going to have maybe even better odds than 4-1 to win the PGA. Why wouldn't he? He's so much better than everyone else. And if he can win the PGA, it just makes golf more interesting when you have a guy win it. When you have a single guy dominating the sport, it makes it more interesting. It does. I've never been a huge Scheffler fan my whole life. Right now, I'm rooting for Scheffler. If it were Scheffler Spieth at the PGA, I think I'd root. I almost would root Scheffler just for how big it, like how good it would be to have that dominant golfer. Spieth might be the only one I would. That's a lie. I'd root for Spieth, but everybody else, Zalatoris, I'd root for Scheffler.
Right.
Tiger, say it was Tiger, I'd root for Scheffler. Rory, if it were Rory, I'd root for Scheffler.
And we went through that list.
Only guy Spieth.
We went through that list last night, so you're right. I don't think that he'll win because it's hard to win.
You keep saying that.
Two majors in a year. He has won the Masters. Okay, he's won a lot of tournaments. He won the Players twice, won the Masters twice.
Yeah, but he's also won the Players twice.
That's what I said. He won the Players twice, but that doesn't mean
those are two of the toughest courses in golf.
Right, and so he's going to be. And the other three are going to be tough as well. You know, like I said, his ball striking was really good. Who are the challengers? So who would you, if you were to rank the four guys that are behind him, who can beat him?
The thing is with golf, there's so many. It's like any day, any tournament, it could be a Harmon shows up or a Clark shows up. There's like 20 golfers right now I wouldn't be surprised if they won a major. So there's so many guys, but he's at that point where he's beating them all. And a lot of the guys right now aren't playing good. Like McIlroy's not playing good.
Right.
From last year, why can't I remember? What's his name? From the Ryder Cup. The fourth player in the world. Why am I not remembering his name?
Fourth player in the world, Cantley?
No, the freaking European dude.
Dude,
what are you? Come on. Well, this is embarrassing.
McIlroy.
How do you not know who I'm talking about? No, the Scandinavian guy. What's his name?
The Scandinavian guy. I'm drawing a blank. Look it up. I don't remember.
This is bad from you. Like, I can get a blank here, but you not remembering this is embarrassing.
The Scandinavian guy.
Name the top five golfers in the world, please. Please just say the top five golfers in the world.
Rob was there.
Go.
McIlroy. Why are you yelling? Why can't you name
him? Quick, because you're going to get it. Because I can't remember his name. Go.
Oh, Victor Hovland. There you go.
Thank you. Jesus
Christ. Just how could you not right remember that? How could you not remember?
If I was drawing a blank and I was stuck.
You still yelling at me like that. Come on.
But every time that happens to you, I can help you. That's bad from you. Every time you don't remember a name, I have it.
It took me a while to think of Victor Hoffman. I'm sorry because I was
Scandinavian guy, the European top five.
Norwegian guy, right? I know who you mean, Victor Hoffman. The Åberg, the Åberg. It's Åberg, by the way, not Åberg. He did a good job.
My point is, McIlroy's not playing well. Hovland's not playing well. Rahm isn't. Well, so right now it's opened up for him to win these because those top five golfers they're not playing well, so it's right. Good for him.
And Hovland changed his swing, is what I remember saying. So you never know. Hey, you never know. Koepka could play great because he plays great in the PGA. For some reason, Koepka's won 3 PGAs.
Sure, but
anything's possible. Yeah, Harmon played great. Wyndham Clark played great. You never know what will happen.
Clark had a tough week,
and you got to remember, Scotty's going to be coming off having a baby at home, keeping awake all night.
Yeah, it's overrated. They were, he kept it's saying,
overrated.
Did you see? No, it is. The impact on his golf game. Did Tiger let his kids impact his game? A Tiger and Scheffler, I'm sure, have very two different home lives. But
yeah, it's true.
Scheffler, he was talking about, I got to get
two different human beings, but yeah, I love Tiger.
I got to get home to my wife, he kept saying at the press conference. There were pictures of him at a bar last night in Texas. It's
well, so home.
Yeah.
Go home to Texas.
Yeah.
Credit. Hey, that's enough Masters talk for our friends here on It All Boils Down to This. Good talk. Jack, I have to give you credit. You pick Scheffler, you stuck with him all the way.
And I'm picking up at the PGA. I don't care what it is.
I picked South Carolina and the girls for South Carolina, and I got that one right.
Yeah, but that was that 4-1 versus like 1-2 was something.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So the next thing on the agenda is the NBA regular season has ended. Before we go to the play, and I just want to talk about this Peyton Pritchard stuff, you know, 30-10.
I said it.
Unbelievable. I watch this kid play every day. And he gets better. He's just good. I mean, he's never going to be a starting guard on a championship team, but he's a great sixth or seventh man off the bench because he can handle the ball. He can shoot the ball. He makes good, solid decisions. His only weakness is a little short. They can post him up if they have to, but he's a great little off weak side rebounder too. So, and they play no one the last two games and won both.
Well, they played nobody as well against.
Well, that's true too. Hanson played against
the Hornets and the Wizards. Pritchard, if he played a pickup game to 11 against Kuzi, he'd win 11-0. He's a remarkable player.
Kuzi's 94 years old.
Okay, yeah, okay. There was a stat of players to do this certain thing, and it was like Havlicek, Bird, Kuzi, and Pritchard are the four.
Yeah, that was 30-10 in back-to-back games.
But no, yeah, good season. The season's over. That was just a great season for the Celtics. They did exceeded expectations, I guess. Not mine. Those were my expectations were for them to win at least 60 games. It's just the way the East played out and how much they went up is great. And now it's all about the playoffs. I don't care. I'm not even listening to the noise that's been coming out today. But
the noise is bullshit. Sure. You know what?
I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't matter. They win. It's over. They win. It's over. That's all they got to do. Just win.
I can tell you right now, if they win, they didn't sweep. These people are so.
I don't care. I don't care. Look, I could care less. If they don't sweep, if they win in seven games, I would not like it. But as long as they win, I do not care how it happens. They won. They can talk all they want. Who cares? They were 64 wins. They won a championship.
That's all that counts. I personally, championship or bust. We knew
Tatum
that.
Tatum could suck in the finals, and if they win, I don't care. They won.
Correct. That's right. I don't think the noise will ever happen. The 2018 Red Sox, they bullshit about. We compare.
They don't anymore.
Well, because they suck
them
now.
One of the best baseball teams ever after. No, I'm saying they don't talk back about 2018 and be like, well, they didn't.
Right, they can't because
they don't talk back about the 04 Red Sox and like, well, they were down 3-0, so they're not that good of a team.
Right.
Like, it doesn't matter. You just win.
So
you can't criticize a team that wins. Unless you're Mike Felger, he still thinks Giannis can't lead a team to a title.
And he forgot that he won a title.
No, he doesn't forget it. He just, it's like, that's like.
I don't think he can. All right, so that gets who the opponent's going to be playing tournament. So there are four teams in the East you have to play. We got Miami is at Philadelphia. That's the 7-8. Whoever wins that game gets the seventh seed. Then Atlanta plays Chicago. Whoever wins that game gets loser the first to go to the eighth seed. So in reality, one of those four teams is going to be the opponent. Sixers are playing really well right now. I would imagine Sixers at home beat Miami. And I like Atlanta to beat Chicago's played really well at Donovan. So let's say Chicago beats Atlanta, Chicago, Miami. Do you think it'll be Miami? Do you think it'll be one of the other two teams?
You know what? Obviously, it'd be nice to get the Bulls because that's just I want Miami. They're not going to lose.
That's a good way to look at it.
Just give me Miami. Let's beat them. Let's end this whole stupid crap with Miami. Let's just beat them in five. Right? Get them. Win the first two games. Beat them up. Beat their spirits. Kill them. I'd rather not play Philly because like that could. They could win. They could make it a little bit tricky for you. Like I could see Philly maybe. Like there's a chance Philly could a better chance than any of the other teams of winning one of those games at the first two games of the Garden. But it makes it a series. They still would beat Philly. I wouldn't be that worried about Philly. But like I'd rather play not Philly. I'll say
rather play somebody who's not that good. Atlanta who thinks they great because they beat us twice.
That'd
down
be funny if we played Atlanta. Yeah,
that would be hilarious.
I'd like Atlanta. That'd be cool.
So a few things fill out. The Knicks ended up with a two seed, so they get home court against the Bucks. We avoid the Knicks and the Bucks till if they win till the final round. 4-5 was Cleveland, Indianapolis. It was a Cleveland, Indianapolis.
Cleveland, Orlando. That's
Orlando.
Who the
that's
was.
It.
Orlando. I love those two matchups for the Celtics.
And then,
I love
and so that's who they would get if they win the first round. So it's sort of.
I love it.
It doesn't matter because you have to win the games anyway. Who?
So, Milwaukee got the Pacers who score all those points, and Milwaukee doesn't play defense. So that could be a little bit tricky for them. The next
versus the Sixers.
Yeah,
they don't have Randall.
For them, you know what I mean? Yeah. Right.
Yeah, the only healthy team right now, in reality, the top four teams is the Celtics. Because Giannis, who knows what's up? Huh?
The Celtics, it's just the more you even talk about it, they're the team that's healthy.
Who knows if Giannis is going to be back? So that's the East. The East is pretty cut and dry. The West is where it's like because you have the Lakers and the Warriors in the play-in tournament, this makes this week probably a little more special as we go forward. The Lakers have to go to New Orleans play the Pelicans, who they just destroyed yesterday.
They don't.
But the Pelicans are supposed to get, I think Ingram's supposed to come back. And then Golden State has to go to Sacramento, which is going to be a big game as well. So you
that's
could
that get rivalry there, that little rivalry they
right.
get going to.
You could get the Lakers and Golden State playing for the eighth spot, which would be classic TV, probably what the NBA wants. So I would imagine one of the referees there is going to be a referee that will make sure the team that's supposed to win wins.
We went from game seven. That's not a thing in the NBA. They went from game seven of the NBA finals to the play-in final for the final spot in the playoffs.
And the Lakers were in the Western Conference Finals last year, got beat up by Denver.
Yeah.
Well, so I think LA will beat New Orleans. And I think New Orleans will beat.
Wait, is Davis healthy? Didn't Davis get hurt? I thought Davis.
No, they're all hurt.
No, no. Okay, yeah, whatever.
Hey, did you know John Sterling, 85, Yankees long?
I was going to bring that up, dude.
He retired.
Oh my god, he's going. No, not now. At the end of the season.
At the end of the season.
Yeah, that's.
We'll talk about that. Talk about that in baseball. I just saw that.
Oh my god, that was one of my big things. He's one of the greats. Oh, keep going.
One of the greats. He is. Him and Mike Gordon retired in the year. So who do you like from the West? Not that it matters. Who in that Western play?
I say the Nuggets.
You still like the Nuggets having a
goal? I'll take the Warriors just because I think Curry will pull out of that. I don't know. But then again, the Warriors don't match up with the Lakers. So I'll go to Pelicans.
Pelicans and Warriors? It'd be nice to see LeBron get knocked out.
Yeah, that would be funny to see.
But LeBron's got to lose two games to get knocked out.
Because LeBron will lose, and then he'll do something outrageous in a week.
Score 50 points.
Well, the NBA, the NBA draft's not really coming up, but he'll do something outrageous with, like, Bronny or something. Like, I don't know.
Well, you know what they'll say is...
No, what will happen is Bronny will transfer something during, like, the NBA finals.
Right, if he loses. Well, here's what's going to happen. LA is going to lose on purpose the first game because they don't want to play Denver. And then they'll beat the next game because they said, we really want to...
Denver's the two?
Yeah. We own OKC, and Minnesota's the three. So that's it. It's a good week. It's an exciting week. I give Adam Silver a lot of credit. It does charge up a little bit, especially in those cities. In Boston, it doesn't really matter because we're not there. But it does give four – it's got four really good games this week. Actually, it'll be six really good games this week. So, and then those teams are worn out anyway for the Celts. And the Celts are going to get a team that's played two games, no matter what. So that helps a little bit. For them, I guess I'm not too worried about the 1-8.
Where did Dallas end up finishing?
Dallas, I gotta go over to my other computer. Hold on.
Forget it. I'll get it because I'll get it quicker. Who's your MVP?
Jokic is MVP.
All right, Dallas ended up finishing fifth. They were seven games back. Yeah, I guess I'd agree with you that Jokic.
I think Jokic is one. SGA is two.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Then it doesn't matter. Yeah, I like Giannis. I like Luka a little bit because they went on that run late, but they didn't finish high enough. So I don't know. It doesn't matter. Who cares?
While we're on the topic of basketball, the NBA WNBA draft tonight, Caitlin Clark going to go number one. We had talked about this earlier today. Is who did you think would be in the top five?
I got them all. You
thought Angel
Reese. Okay, that's the one I got wrong, but I got the others.
The irony here is they get, and here's the first four projected picks. 6 foot senior Caitlin Clark, 6 foot four senior Cameron Brink, 6 foot seven senior Camela Cardoza, and 6 foot two senior Ricky Jackson. Then Alea Edwards from Connecticut and J.C. Selden from Ohio State. She's 5'10". And then finally Angel Reese. Angel Reese's problem, she don't play defense. That's what everybody talks about. So it'll be exciting for the Indiana Fever. I think I saw Caitlin Clark today on the Today Show, and she was talking about her next goal now is trying to make the Olympic team, even though she wasn't at the tryout because she was at the Final Four. I can't imagine they wouldn't put her as the 12th person on that team because it's just a great, you know, the viewership for that will be huge as well. And like you said, do you think that there was an article too today about how what she's going to have to learn in the WNBA because now she's going to be playing against players who are bigger and stronger and experienced. So it'll be an interesting transition for her. But that's happening tonight. I think it's tonight. And she'll go first to the Indiana.
She'll score more in the WNBA. She'll score more. She'll get more shots. She'll get more open threes.
She'll score more because everybody's going to be everybody else. Can't double her.
Yeah.
Again, today we're doing this on Monday, Patriots Day, which is a uniquely Massachusetts holiday. They do it in celebration of, I think it's Bunker Hill's the reason we do it. And on Patriots Day, we get two major things happen sports-wise in town. Number one is the marathon, which is a crazy-ass race. And number two is Red Sox play the Patriots the game at 11, and they actually crap a bit. So let's start with the Red Sox because that lineup, Jack, God almighty, the pitching's been good, but what the hell is that lineup?
They're a disgrace.
How can you even
– They're a disgrace. They're just a disgrace. They're so useless. It's not even funny.
Who do you want to watch in that line?
Can't even field the ball. I don't know. Devers, he never plays. No one. They're all useless. Cassius maybe hits home runs. I don't want to watch anyone. I don't even want to watch the Red Sox. They're boring. They're horrible. They don't make plays in the field. They don't hit. They don't do anything. They don't do nothing.
They pitch pretty well. Whitlock. Cutter Crawford today went, what, five innings and shut with two-inch shutout ball. The bullpen. That bullpen is atrocious. Even Kelly Jansen bitching about the baseballs.
But they're still trashing on, like, Justin Turner. Justin Turner. They need hitters. They need guys who can hit.
If they bring Justin Turner back, they finish in last place. Without Justin Turner, they finish in last place.
Yeah, okay.
What is the record of Toronto? They're 8-8.
Oh, my God.
What has Justin Turner done for – last year, they were better.
How many World Series? So by your logic, Ted Williams was useless for the Red Sox. Because he didn't win anything.
By my logic, he was not useless. That's not my logic. I'm just saying, you bitching about bringing Justin Turner back, it just aggravates the hell out of me. Who cares? The only two players they should have brought back, they didn't. Simple. Solve all the problems.
Barry Bonds sucks.
Huh?
Barry Bonds sucked. Wouldn't want him on my team.
Bogarts and Betts. He should have won in 2002, but his pitching staff sucked. Yeah, Angels hit. Who was it? Steve something with an S. Hit a home run.
You just proved his pitching staff sucked.
I don't know what your infatuation with Justin. Yeah, I think.
Dude, he's a good player.
Who tweeted? Was that Rosenthal tweeted that?
I don't know. Who cares?
Somebody's got a bone up
Nobody
there.
Leads the league. Whatever.
Listen, John Henry's made a lot of stupid moves, right? Justin Turner, one of them. No.
Okay. Yep. No. Whatever.
Marathon, Mom and I went today.
I like David Hamilton. He's good to watch.
Oh, my God. Get out of town, dude. Valdez.
I'm joking.
I know you're joking.
I love Yoshida. He's awesome. He's the best.
I love Yoshida too, but he's not that good. I'm telling you, we're going to see in September. They're going to be terrible. They're going to bring the three kids up, and they're going to go for it.
No, they won't. They're going to be cheap, and they won't. They're going to wait.
They will not be cheap with those three. You can't.
Oh, yes, they will. All right,
okay, there's our bet. September, we see at least two of those three.
Sure. I'll take that bet. Yeah, two. You need two of them.
At least
I could maybe see Teal, but no way you get to
it. There, you're definitely Mark Marcello.
Nope. Okay. I like that bet. No way. One of them at most.
You think only one? I think two. So record that down. And I know that our good listener, Brian Cain, will remember that because he likes
to go for it. Well, he doesn't care about the Red Sox. He cares about that Yankee team.
He's a Yankee
on everybody with that a-hole Nestor Cortez pitching.
Ban him
from the league. Oh, do God. Something about that. The MLB social media accounts tweeting about laughing. Like, look at how funny this is. No, get
that
rid
was,
of him.
That was a horrendous act of.
I would plunk him somehow. Like, I don't know how you do it because he
can't plunk him.
You got to somehow plunk him.
In that same game, our good friend Verdugo forgot to round the ball. Got doubled up. Ground ball
first. That's Verdugo.
Can't get the plate double up at first. That's bad.
I'm stunned.
You're stunned?
I'm stunned. His baseball fundamentals weren't working.
You mean Soto and Judge haven't rubbed off on him to play the game the right way? You know,
it doesn't matter. They're like the best team in the American League right now.
They're playing really well, but they don't.
And they don't even have their best player, which is
their Cole. Well, they have their best player. They don't have their pitcher.
Okay.
Judge is still healthy. So on Patriots Day, they also run the marathon, which is a bunch of a million people running down the street for 26 miles to Boston from Hopkinton. And Mom and I were at mile 20 today just to see some runners. And it was neat. It was a beautiful day. Nice to go in. We went to Johnny's Lunch and afterwards for lunch. But we were at mile 20 and waiting for the wheelchair guys to go by, and then people start coming. All of a sudden, the helicopter goes over and the trains are coming. The cops come. Here comes the leader. And I'm thinking, okay, he'll be in. There'll be a pack right behind him. He was in the lead at 20, mile 20. What's up? He had about a 2-minute lead at mile 20. And Mom and I are looking at each other saying, where's the pack? And the pack is like way back. So it was. He ended up winning the race. I forget his name. I should look it up. But it was neat to see it's neat to see how, first of all, how skinny those guys are and tiny, but how quick they run. And so he ends up winning. Then we wait. The women are coming by next. And the women came by in a pack of 12. And I guess there was one American in the pack of 12. And I think the winner the winner today was she defending champ. She defended her champ. But they were in flying. And then there was a woman who we do on iFit, Ashley Paulson, Mom and I watched with the pink hair. She came by. Mom yelled there, hey, Ashley! Like that. And she had headphones on. She didn't hear her. But it was fun. We had a good time.
There's no way. That's a lie. There's no way Mom yelled like that.
Yes, she did. Where is she?
We don't need – I'll ask her later, but there's no way she did that.
She yelled, Ashley, like that. Honest to God. Honest to God, she did. It was great. Joe. It was – Joe's my brother who's the runner. It was like 70 degrees. It was such a beautiful day, and it was not too bad. And people ringing cowbells all over enough, but it was fun. So that was the marathon. Are you going to run – you ran a half marathon, did you?
Yeah.
We have some video of that, right?
Yeah, no, care, but it's good. It's a good event. That's all I'll say.
It's a good event. All right, so that's that was the Patriots Day events here in Massachusetts for all of us who live here.
I was going to say, you didn't let me, the guy, how far ahead of the pack was he?
He's probably 2:30 ahead. He ended up winning
I was going to say he goes to the same doctor as Roger Clemens.
Does he really?
No, it's an HGH joke.
Oh, well, they're all doing HGH.
I know, they're all on steroids. Those Ethiopian dudes and the Kenyan guys. First off, they're running on like Mount Kilimanjaro, like 10,000 feet above sea. So they get the altitude training. I made that point about Hunter kid on Colorado, and they're definitely doing like how do they like drug test or do they
drug test big time?
And how do they get? Are they getting away with it or what's going on?
No, I think they probably do it to the legal limit, just like everybody.
So they're not cheating.
No.
But like Roger Clemens was cheating.
Those guys, like what's his name? The cyclist there.
And Armstrong was cheating.
Armstrong was cheating. Right. Like that was cheating. These guys, they run it out. These guys must weigh 115, 20 pounds. They're flying. And they got good equipment and they're skinny and they run. I mean, I don't know why they do it. They're good. I don't know why the people in the back of the pack do it because they're raising money, but God almighty, there's people slogging through. And Mom was looking and say, well, that guy's got good form, or that guy's got good form. And some are like dying with it. So that was.
Is that like painful? Like, is that like a struggle for the dude that runs, that wins the marathon? Like, is he like dead right now? Or is he like walking?
Oh, no. He'll probably go out and run a 10 mile tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember Uncle Joe did triathlons. Back when he used to do triathlons, the leaders would all finish. And then in 5 hours, they're all running again. These guys are nuts.
Yeah, that's not right.
Shout out to Uncle Joe, who ran the Tour de Mont Blanc like twice. Did a 70-mile run and a 100-mile run around the mountains around Mont Blanc over there in France and Italy and Switzerland. So God bless him for doing that. I got to see him finish once, and he finished while we were there the second time. So that's Patriots Day here in Boston. Next thing I do know we are supposed to be able next week. We'll hopefully have Jay Trev on, right? That's going to be the goal.
Yeah, our draft insider. We got to find a time to get him on to discuss the draft and JJ coming to the Patriots.
He's not. But no, I think we'll tease Jay Trev up next week. The draft is the 25th. It is now today's the 15th. So 10 days from today, we'll have the draft. So next week we'll try to get Mr. Trevisani in to give us his updates, see if it's still going to go Williams, Daniels, and then May, first three. Can't see the Patriots passing up a quarterback.
We'll see.
I don't think they pass up May. I mean, these crazy people that love that think they're doing the greatest thing since Bill Belichick left here. They'll find a way to screw it up. Kraft will screw this up. Kraft will show the world how he can't win without Brady and Belichick, but they can win without him. So be it. But we'll tease Jay Trapp coming in next week, hopefully for the draft. If he doesn't come in, it's your fault, Jay Trapp, if you're watching. If not, maybe we'll bring Chris and Kevin back to talk some NFL draft as well. Or you know, Tommy T texted me the other day, so maybe we'll get, you know what? Maybe we'll try to get Tommy on the next 2 or 3 weeks, talk NBA playoffs. That'd be a good idea as well.
No. We gotta wait. We'll wait once Lillard gets eliminated. We'll get him on.
Oh, you want to wait till Lillard's gone?
Yeah.
Okay. Shout out to Tommy T. Get Lillard on. You had a man. You ran so Premier League.
Well, no, let's just start at the Premier League. So the Premier League, the title race, all heating up. We got match week 32. Everyone's like within a point of each other. The three City, Liverpool, and Arsenal. And Liverpool and Arsenal just both throw up on themselves. Unbelievable. It's just City's going to win the league again. Liverpool lost to Crystal Palace. Arsenal lost to Aston Villa. It hurts. It's a shit. I was rooting for Arsenal, but I realized I'm rooting for City. It's way more funny seeing Arsenal lose and seeing their fans have an absolute meltdown. And it's so funny seeing Jurgen Klopp's big final season come crashing to an end. Ever since we beat them in that FA Cup game, they've been a mess. So it's just been great. There's a great quote out there going around. It's like, why argue with an Arsenal fan when you can just wait? Because the premise is they'll be wrong. They're going to be wrong all the time. It's just so good. Oh, Kevin was losing.
Has Kevin thrown up his hands yet for Arsenal?
He's sending voice messages. Disgrace. One of the worst days of his life. It's just the Premier League. And now I'm a Man United fan. What happened to us on Saturday, the day before Sunday, when those two teams melted down, was the biggest disgrace ever. The players didn't even try. Like, it was Bruno Fernandes, our captain, was the one guy on the field who tried. He scored two goals. He hit the crossbar from 30 yards. He was running, closing down everyone. Nobody else looked like they wanted to be there. And then people are complaining. Garnacho, who's played like 20 games in a row as a 19-year-old, gets subbed off at halftime. He complains about the coach subbing him off. Anthony, who we paid $100 million for, has freaking one goal this year, zero goals in the Premier League, is complaining that he's not getting enough playing time anymore. You can't score. You're the worst player I've ever seen. The players are a disgrace. The manager's going to get sacked. He's not been good enough this year. But at the end of the day, it's not 100% his fault. It's impossible to coach his team right now. At least we get the new structure. But these players, I can't forgive a lot of these guys. Like, so the next manager that comes in, you got to get a clean – almost everyone has to go.
Are they seventh in the table?
Oh, they're terrible. Yeah.
Are they going to make the Europa League?
I don't know. Put us in the Conference League, whatever the hell that is.
That's the next league down.
I don't know. Just
so they're is there is I mean is there so we got the top three, which are Man City, Liverpool, Arsenal. They're still battling it out. Man City's got more of the advantage after two teams lost, so it's good Premier League talk. And Man U's Jack's favorite. They're like in seventh place. They're not going to get relegated though, at least. But do you think cleaning house, new ownership, new management, do you think that's the way to go? And that transitions me to Chelsea got new ownership and management.
That's what I'm going to do. The thing like about the manager, everyone hates the manager, wants him gone. I mean, what he did last year, I thought was incredible and in how good we were. And it was probably the best I've seen us play ever in my time as a fan since 2014. This year, it's like what the other – I didn't even mention him, Casemiro. I don't think Saudi Arabia would take him. He's the worst player I've ever seen. And I don't exaggerate. For Manchester United right now,
Jack doesn't exaggerate.
I do exaggerate, I mean. Yeah, I'm not exaggerating right now. He's the worst player in his current form I've ever seen for Man United. He can't control like a simple pass than that like you would control. I'm dead serious. It's strange what's going on. Right. He's supposed to be one of the leaders in the locker room, but he's just collecting his pension at Man United because we gave him like 400K a week as a 30-year-old for 5 years, and Real Madrid's laughing at us when we submitted that offer for them.
Okay, and that's a good Man U. What happened with Chelsea today? Something funny.
So the only thing worse than Man United is Chelsea. So this guy he scores all their penalties. He's got like 10 penalties this year. They're up like 4-0. He's got a hat trick. He's going for his fourth goal. And he steps up to take the penalty. He's got two players on his team trying to fight him for the ball, trying to fight him to take the penalty. It's like, of all the things that would happen at Man United, that would never happen at United. Bruno would give the penalty up, or Bruno would, because Bruno likes getting people involved like that. But that was, it's one of the craziest things I've ever seen. The guy taking the penalties, they were up 4-0 and they had a fight. Like they almost started fighting each other on the field.
Who makes the call and who takes the penalty? Isn't that the coach's job?
I would assume the manager, yeah, would I guess have the ultimate final say. Yeah.
So the guy, yeah. The best player took the penalty and made it.
Yeah, he scored. He scored. I'm not kidding. He scored like 10 penalties in the league this year. It's outrageous. He scored two against us.
Yeah. All right. So they fought over who gets to take it. Well, that's really bad. That's sort of like bad equivalent here to who would take a technical free throw.
And so I think this week we got coming. Yeah, it would be like that. Yeah, but it's a penalty is a lot more important than a technical free throw. It would almost be like if you get a penalty shot in hockey, if they even do that anymore, who would take that?
They do penalty shots. I think the penalty
shot is even more valuable. It's even more valuable in soccer because you score way more in hockey.
The penalty shot in hockey is if whoever gets penalized, whoever gets the breakaway gets dumped, he takes the shot. Oh, okay. They don't get to slide. Hey, some good hockey talk. Bruins playoffs bound.
And then I'll say, and then we got the Champions League, I think, this week. It would be hilarious to see Arsenal go out to Bayern after what just happened to them in the league.
Aren't they down though to Bayern?
No, I think they're tied 3-3, but they're going to play at Bayern. The game is at Bayern. It just the Arsenal, there's no fan base. I don't think a fan base melts down like theirs. It's just so funny online seeing all their fans, and then obviously because I get Kevin, and it's just so funny. It's so funny.
So Kevin, we next week, when's the league over? When's the season over?
Middle May. And a May.
So we got to make sure when the season's over, we'll bring Kevin on again, and we'll do a recap of the league, and maybe
I don't think I want to because he's been a baby about it the whole year, and he's always, well, we sucked all the whole time. So okay. No, he'll just be a little whiny brat about
maybe,
it.
Maybe
he's
maybe
got this great team, and my team sucks. He's whined about
maybe
it.
Maybe we'll bring Chris Greco on to talk about Liverpool then instead. He won't whine about them. Yeah. And finally, in the soccer front. Your mom and I, for the last two seasons, watched Welcome to Wrexham, which is fun. And it's Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney, who are the Hollywood owners. And it just shows they won. They've moved promotions. So they go from National League to League 2, from League 2 to League 1 in 2 years, which doesn't happen a lot. Probably not going to advance them as quick. But I think this is somewhere where I think if you're willing, you said this to me too, if you're willing to put money into your team, you're going to win. You know, and I think it's all the way up, and I think that's how Man City, you said, has become so good. The owners were willing to put the money in. But the Welcome to Wrexham thing on FX, season 3, which is not the whole season, but halfway through this first year in League 1 for them, or League 2 for them, will be good. And I just wanted to give a shout-out because I do watch it, and I think it's a nice story to watch as it goes. Like Luton Town, I think, was the same way. They went all the way from National League up to Premier League. And again, it's just like in any sport, just like John Henry, and he's got – Liverpool, if he's willing to spend the money, he's going to have a winning team. Because you can spend, if you spend the money the right way, you're going to have a winning team. And they're proving that because they've gone out and picked the players that they think they need to improve. And they've made advances with their stadium too. But again, I hate to bring it back to the Red Sox. If you're willing to spend the money, you're going to win. You know, you're going to, as long as you spend, not true, but if you spend the money correctly. If you have the right people making the right decisions. And I don't think that that's happened here in Boston. Or probably at Liverpool either. So that was my little soccer update. Jack got his Man U ran in there. Another big story, and I have a couple questions at the end after this, is Coach John Calipari has decided he coaches this will be his fourth college basketball team. He's going to University of Arkansas, a Razorback, staying within the SEC, going from Kentucky. So he is now coached in college. He's coached UMass. He's coached Memphis. He's coached Kentucky. He's coached Arkansas. So he's done a lot of, in that SEC area. And he did take a stint at the New Jersey Nets. But and they hired Mark Pope, who's like the 6'10 center who's at Washington State, who played at Kentucky for Ricky Pitino. And he just brings a whole different vibe, I think, as I've been reading a lot about that lately. But what Coach Cal, he had to get out, I think. I don't know how he picked Arkansas, but Arkansas needed a coach. And what kind of money are they throwing at him?
A lot. He's buddies with one of the big boosters there. I know that. And again, it was a good, I think he was trying to use them as leverage to get a new contract with Kentucky. And Kentucky said, was like, no, just go there and take that contract. So he's right. Like, all right, I'll leave. I love Coach Cal. I think he's one of the funnier dudes on the planet. Like I don't know. I don't even know like how to even describe him. Like, I don't know if he's self-aware of how big of like a sleazeball salesman he kind of, I think that's just who he is. Like, I don't think he's playing a character. Like, I don't think he's, like, playing that character or selling or anything. Right. I think that's truly just who he is. You know, he is. That's who. And he's just so awesome. Some all-time quotes. He had the, I talked to the team. There is no team because there's no one on Arkansas right now. Everyone's in the transport. That's how it is. He's just, he's an entertaining guy. He's an entertaining quote. And I hope Arkansas kicked the crap out of Kentucky this year. I hope they kill him.
You do?
And they got rid of Battle. Wasn't Battle there?
Khalif had gone to transfer portal, go to the NBA, right?
He stinks, yeah.
So the question is down to this is, we've lost a lot of good coaches over the last 3 or 4 years. You know, Coach K left, Jay Wright left. The changing world of I have no team, of the NIL and the transfer portal. I wouldn't be shocked if Cal's successful in Arkansas right away. He'll bring the players in. The Wang, a lot of his kids from Kentucky are going to transfer in. I would worry if – I mean, I know
Real quick, is he getting the Brunson kid there, the kid who played for Ricky Brunson at the high school there, the kid from New Jersey, Canada?
Probably is the kid. Yeah, who knows? It gets everybody. I think Kentucky –
come on, let Ricky Brunson coach.
Yeah, I think Kentucky will struggle a little bit with the change. It'll be a big change in culture. I'll tell you, Big Blue Nation, though, they come out. They had a press conference, and they brought a bus into the Rupp, and they dropped off all these ex-players. And it's packed. They get more people for a press conference than we get in 5 games at the Lee Corps Center. And it's all about the money. So if Kentucky has the money, they can probably work their way through.
That's a gift and a curse, though, for that coach there. It's like, I know he's a Kentucky alumni. I know he's a national champion there. But, like, is he ready for that pressure? Is he ready for that spotlight?
Right.
Calipari was ready for that. Calipari wanted that. You know what I mean? Patino wanted that. Those guys wanted it. I mean, they lived for that. And again, it wore Calipari out, but he wants that.
So the question comes down to, is Mark Pope, Billy Gillespie, who followed Patino, or is he John Calipari? And you're right. Absolutely right. The pressure on them, you have all these inherent strengths. You know, a great program, great boosters, great people, you know, a blue blood among blue bloods, and everything going for you, probably get NIL, but you still have to get the kids to come play for you. And you still then have to coach the kids. So Cal could get the kids, but couldn't coach them. And Cal ran along lines of the one and done's for a while too. But I think you're right. I think it's always a risk when you hire somebody, no matter what.
And overall, like, I know the past 5 years, half decade or whatever, have been not very good for Calipari at Kentucky. But overall, he did a great job there. He won a national championship. It's hard, like, people forget because of what UConn did the past 2 years. They made it look so easy how they won. Right. It's so hard to win a national championship. It is so, so hard to win a national championship. He won one. He had the undefeated team. They lost. He had a couple other teams that lost. I mean, how many times were they ranked number one in the country? I mean, he had great teams. He did a great job. I mean, he left, and then I think what helps now, Kentucky doesn't need help with their legacy, but just to put all those players he did in the NBA and the amount of guys he's going to put in the Hall of Fame, the amount of guys he's going to put in the Hall of Fame from there, it's just – the Calipari legacy of Kentucky, I mean, from my childhood, he was the guy. It was him.
Right. And the irony is he did the same thing at UMass. He put players in the NBA.
It's a different scale.
And he on a different scale, right. But he cut his teeth there. He went from there to the NBA where it just didn't work because you can't be a sleazeball with NBA players.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can't recruit in the NBA.
Right. I say because he had the fight with Coach, they did have ultimate respect for each other at the end. So it's hard. He's won. He might have to do it the way you want him to do it, but he's a winner and he's an upstanding guy. I want more money if I'm going to stay here. And the guy say bye. He said, I'm taking more money or I want to go. But as they age out, I think we're going to lose a lot of these coaches because of the NIL and because of the transfer portal, because of the Jay Wrights of the world. We just don't want to deal with that shit
anymore. All right, cool. That's cool and all, but guess what? Someone's got to win the national championship. Someone's got to be one of the better coaches.
Correct. So
there's always going to be coaches, and it's just going to fill itself up. Like, didn't Bill James, the famous Bill James quote that everyone hates and everyone's like, it's one of the worst sports quotes ever. If you took every single player in the MLB and you got rid of them in 5 years, you could replace them all.
Right. Because it could. Because
That's what sports are. That's what sports are. There's always going to be someone else. There's enough talent. There's enough coaching talent in this country. We'll always have enough. There'll always be great coaches in this.
You'll always find a coach, but it's a matter of
give me Danny Hurley.
I think one
not
of the,
going anywhere.
One of the things I like, if we get our group together again, one of the things I like to talk about is what's going to happen with the NCAA, what's going to happen with football, the power conference when they split to the 64, and they and the relegation play might work because if you're one of the bottom five or six, it gives the group of five teams a chance to play out.
That's too in depth for me. I'm just a fan. I like watching and talking about it. We were at golf yesterday. Everyone's ripping on Fitzy. He's the commissioner. He's running the league. Like he's like he loves the power. He's like turned into a dictator and everything. And we're talking about we gotta create like a board so we can keep him in check. And then me and Kincaid are like, we're fine just being players, like with our role as players and just showing up and playing. I'm just a player. I'm just a fan.
So what's the what happens with hey, for our loyal listeners, what's the name of the league and how can you get follow? You can follow.
Some no, I'm not. There's nothing. No. It's the Fringe Week Golf League. It's just
some of you was tweeting out. Mom was following you guys. Like they said they were tweeting big time yesterday.
Oh, they tweet. That was another thing. It was like Texas updates after every hole. It's like who? The kid who's tweeting, he's playing golf. Like how are you playing?
Yeah. Who was tweeting, by the way?
Some random kid. You wouldn't know.
Rando, I don't know. All right. Before we go, Mike Gorman, I just wanted to bring this up because we saw John Sterling So John Sterling, big time announcer. Do you want to do an impersonation of John Sterling or not?
No, I mean the home run at Fenway Park or the home run.
That's fine.
The Stantonian blast.
A Stantonian blast.
Out of the ballpark, way out of here. He's the best. And then he got hit by the baseball last year. I think we were talking about it.
He's the Yankees win guy, right?
What? Oh yeah, the
Yankees win.
The Yankees win. Who's the PA announcer there? Shepard.
Yeah, Bob Shepard.
Yeah, no, he's like Bob Shepard. Can you hear this?
Well, I want to pull up behind the plate.
Yeah, Dave O'Brien told me the pitch to Stanton.
There it goes. Deep left, it is high. It is far. That is God out of the ballpark. A Stantonian home run. What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong? He's at first base.
He's at shot off the wall. Best call ever.
And he got thrown out of the play that sequence then?
Yeah. He hit the ball. I think Judge got thrown out of the plate. He's the one who hit the ball, which was hit harder than that. Now, I don't – that's kind of making fun of John Sterling. He's a great announcer. I mean, he called games – he never missed games. He called games for however long, probably 50, close to 50 years. I could be wrong with this, but, I mean, he's a great announcer.
Yeah,
that's the funniest moment ever. And his voice is perfect for the radio.
Right. He began joined the Yankee Brokers in 1989. He it was
oh, so not as long as I would have expected, but
36th season in the booth today.
But nobody like we were doing, nobody like Mike Gorman. 43 years. He still
right.
looks
Mike
young.
Gorman's next. Yeah.
He still
yeah.
looks young. The Celtics did a really good job with their tributes for him and all that. He was very emotional and everything. Gonna miss Mike's gonna be a big miss with Mike and Tommy. Remy's gone. All these guys that I grew up listening to are all gone. The day Zolak goes.
Oh my god, yes.
Zolak's different though because it's like I don't listen to the Patriots on the radio. Like I
right.
watch.
Remember we listened to one game on the way home from Philly.
Jack Edwards.
He was going nuts.
Yeah, that was a
problem. Yeah.
I think it's a game they might have came back against the Broncos like a big
yeah, comeback. It might have been. I think they were playing against Manning, right?
But yeah, no, those announcers, it's just yeah. Well,
so we were talking Mike Gorman, what was it 43 years? And we looked Joe Castig was 1983, so he's at 41, so he's got two more to catch up to him. Joe Castig of the Red Sox got two more. And then I just wanted to bring up Vern Lundquist real quick, who used to do a great job with SEC football and he retired. And he did his last Masters this week. And he's had great calls in 16. He's got that really great Southern kind of football voice. He'll be missed as well. So if you think about it, in your lifetime.
That's a good point. He's got that great like Southern. All these dudes coming out, like I know the news. I like the new Celtics guy, but all these dudes coming out of like Syracuse are kind of like these dorky guys. Who is that next like Musburger or Keith Jackson or Vern with that real great voice, not that dorky voice that we're getting. I'm not saying these are bad guys. Like I'm not saying Ian Eagle is a bad guy but. Who's got that unique, like, I can hear Brent calling up a college, a SEC guy. I can hear Vern Lundquist calling an SEC
right,
football.
Right, right.
I can't hear I can't hear Ian Eagle or calling a game like that. I don't know. I can't hear Sean McDonough calling a game like that. I can't. I need one of those guys.
What about Mike Breen?
Yeah, but he's not. That's totally different announcer. Mm-hmm. That's not like that Southern type of college.
No, I'm just saying like Keith Jackson. So yeah, we're losing. They roll out. Like in your lifetime.
But I'm saying there's no replacement for him. Keith Jackson had Musburger to replace him.
Keith Jackson and Musburger, even Vern, were in reality peers in a lot of ways.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
yeah.
They were older peers. I would still – it's the new – like Vince Scully was before them, right? And I grew up like with Ned Martin, you know, and then Sean McDonough, and then Don Arcillo, and now Dave O'Brien for the Red Sox. So I grew up with those. With football,
another one. Like Dave O'Brien's got that kind of – That Syracuse-y voice, where it's not that big time college football voice.
I don't think there's
Chris Fowler. You know, I like Chris. Chris Fowler's got a different voice, kind of like that, a little bit more.
That's a good question, Dan. I wasn't expecting to go to that route, but you're right. Where, you know, in your lifetime, though, think about it. Celtics games on television have always been called by Mike Gorman. Always.
Yeah.
And I moved up here in '85. He's been calling the games on Sports Boston all the time. And he had Mike, he had Cousy, and he had Heinsohn for the longest time. And when I first got here, Johnny Most was doing the radio, you know, and Ned Martin was doing radio and TV for the rest.
Well, how long's Grande? Sean Grande.
He's been here a while now.
Him and Gorman combined have called 5,000 games.
He's been here a long time. But again, that's a local piece. And like Laverne Lundquist, Jim Nance, when he leaves, Jim Nance has a unique style about him. You got to give Jim Nance some credit.
Yeah, but Jim Nance, again, not an SEC football announcer.
No, like Joe Buck, another one, but he's not an SEC football announcer.
Like, you know, but then again, Gary Danielson is the guy. And I picked him in our announcer's draft. And you know why? Subconsciously, I was thinking because he kind of has that voice. So
Gary Danielson's the play-by-play guy. Off the top of my head, I can't remember who CBS now. It's going to be ESPN. We'll do SEC football. Probably see Sean McDonough doing SEC football. I love Sean McDonough. He's around my age too, and I always thought he had a great way.
Why did I say Gary Danielson? Not Gary Danielson. Who? Gary Danielson does play. Yeah, you're right. Gary.
He's the color guy.
Color guy. Who am I talking about? Why did I say Gary Danielson? No. Who? What does? You're killing me again here, dude. You're killing me. I can't remember a thing today.
Killing you. Well, like all those guys have been around forever. Ah, shoot. Who does the CBS FCC?
Because he used to call it with Nestler.
Brad Nestler.
Brad Nestler, and he kind of has that voice.
Kind of, but it's still, you know, I like the fact that you brought up that the Syracuse voice is a great Bob Costas Syracuse voice. Where you're,
I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying that that's.
No, and they're good. They're good, but there's no. You're right. We're missing that. Maybe
I did kind of. I did say it was a dorky voice, but that's almost what it is. It's like it's a broad. It's like I don't know what it is. It's
you're probably right. Probably right. You know, and it's about we used to have regional announcers. If we were down in Georgia, we'd probably have one of the Georgia or Kentucky or Alabama.
But that's too Southern for me.
Too Southern.
I don't even know what I'm looking for. I don't know what it is.
I know what you're saying. I think it's the big voice. I think you missed.
Maybe it's the microphones they use in CBS or something. They're like changing the voice. I don't know. There's something about
that. No, they were. I think you hit the nail on the head. They were very. It's a unique sound, if I would say it. And I agree with you. And with Vern Lundquist leaving, we're down to just having the regular guys who've gone through the program. You know, these guys were probably guys weren't even announcers when they were 18 years old. They went to college. They probably did a few odd jobs, and hey, I'll become an announcer. Like, if you look at college football announcers on a local level, there's guys that have been doing it for 50 years for these big schools, Michigan and Ohio State and Alabama and LSU. And we will lose that. I like the fact that you brought the Syracuse dorky voice up because that does make some sense to me with regards to that. But at some point, we'll have to go back to that announcer stuff again because I thought that was a fun thing to do. Yeah.
And then last thing before we leave, the USA announced their roster.
USA who?
Basketball. Steph Curry, LeBron James. That's an effing farce. That is an effing joke. That is a disgrace that those two are actually going to take a spot from some of these younger guys who want to play. That's a joke. You play in tournament, selfish a-holes.
So how many are named, by the way?
Ready? Kevin Durant, What? Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum, how about this one? Joel Embiid. Somehow he's American now. Devin Booker, Tyrese Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, Drew Holiday, Bam Adebayo, and Anthony Davis. I'm not watching.
Is that the 12 they're taking?
That selfish, arrogant LeBron dude doing it again. No need. There's no need for him to be there. No need.
So Jalen didn't make it?
Obviously not. None of these guys. Like, did I read Anthony.
Does Jay Davis. Make it?
I said Anthony Edwards. No. Okay. No, SGA is Canadian.
He is Canadian. He's from right here.
But there's other guys. There's guys who would. I don't know. I don't.
You're
I
right.
Know.
Yeah, that's an ongoing.
Curry, thing. LeBron, and Durant should not be playing. They
who are the any backups there? They didn't mention any who's coming in because one of those guys will get hurt anyway. And LeBron gonna knock down a line through it all. He's those guys have seen their. They've had their chance. Let's give the young kid a chance. I totally agree with it. And Embiid, he became
the other thing is LeBron and Steph when they struggled. Like, at least Durant, LeBron and Steph didn't play last time. They didn't. They didn't. So if I don't want Simone Biles going to the Olympics, why the hell do I want LeBron James and Steph Curry going to the Olympics? I'm consistent.
I wouldn't complain about Embiid. He did come and get his American citizenship, and he wants to play for. He's young. He wants to play for. That's okay.
But LeBron and Steph, they weren't there when they were struggling at the last one, and now they're going to be there.
No, that's right.
For the
They're coming in to save the team.
It's going to be all about them, too. And I remember Durant, after the last one, he literally told Tatum, he's like, this is going to be your team now. So, but now he's got – Tatum's be coming off the bench.
Well, who knows? Who's coaching that? Do they have a coach?
Yeah, it's Steve Kerr.
Steve Kerr's coaching this?
I'm pretty sure, right? Yeah. All right. Let's get out of here.
Thank you, Lumberman. Hey, a great episode 35 for it all boils down to this. Episode 35 is now concluded. Jack, thanks for joining us. For Jack Boyle, I'm Jim Boyle, and we'll see you on down the road.
Thanks for listening to this episode of It All Boils Down to This, recorded at WCTV Studios in our hometown of Wilmington, Massachusetts. We are always open to any ideas, critiques, topics, and guests. So if anyone out there in podcast world needs to get a hold of us, we can be reached via email at jboyle22@comcast.net. Along with Jack Boyle, I'm Jim Boyle. Make sure to tune in to the next edition of It All Boils Down to This.